Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hello, everyone, and thank you again for joining me for another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and the host of this show. Before we get into our main segments this evening, let me get some just minor housekeeping out of the way. We'll first start with my books. If you're interested in reading, you can find these books on Amazon, but how you can see my book covers, I would go to www.paranormaluniversalpress.com. and on my website, you'll be able to see all the book covers. But I would focus on the last book, which is called Manifestations, because this book contains 4 of the 8 books in that one volume. If you want to do more listening, I have about 48, 49 segments now on Podomatic. On my website page, if you go up towards the right-hand side toward the top, you will see a button called Podomatic. You'll click on it, and that'll bring you directly into my website where I have housed and contained 48 to 49 episodes as we speak. Downloading is free. I have a variety of topics on there. And of course, again, thank you to my listenership. I'm very much highly ranked with my program worldwide, and I do want to just plain and simply thank you. So what else did I want to make note of here before we move forward? I've got my books out of the way. I've got my listening pleasure out of the way. Oh, yes, of course. And if you are in your car and you're just listening to the radio, I'm not sure what station it's on, but I know from internet radio standpoint, it's on ParaX, www.para-x.com. And that's ParaX Radio, and you can hear me 11 p.m. to 12 midnight every Thursday evening, Eastern Standard Time. So lots of material out there and lots of good listening for your enjoyment. Alrighty then, so what are we going to talk about this evening? Well, I think we're going to first start out with the Haunted Report. Then I think we're going to move into just a brief segment with Mildred on Ghoulish Chatterbox. And our main feature discussion tonight is going to be on ridding poltergeists from your home with no guarantee, okay? One of the things that I have noticed lately is that I have a pesky poltergeist slash ghost that has been hanging around in this house for a good year since I moved in to this newer home. And lately it's become more obvious, and I think you'll be very interested to hear what's been happening regarding that. I did try to search for ideas on how to get rid of pesky poltergeists. Even people in the paranormal field have difficulty trying to figure out sometimes how to rid things from their house. And I'm not going to try anything drastic just yet. I'm just sitting back kind of monitoring the situation. But I can tell you one thing. Most people, including myself, cannot always afford to move from their house. So you either cohabit with the ghost, or you try to figure out how to give yourself a break from it for a while. But this is something that's a mystery, and we'll talk about that more later on. So I did do a segment, just FYI, on spiritual possession by poltergeist, and I've actually talked about that a few times on other shows as well. But this isn't about spiritual possession here. This is about a noisy ghost that simply wants attention and wants to let you know it's here, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about. All right, before we get started, okay, let's go to break quickly. And then when we come back, we'll start out with the Haunted Report. Stay tuned.
Did I hear somebody come in?
Welcome to the Haunted Report. This evening, I am going to relay to you some of the occurrences that have been happening fairly recently, not only by myself, but by others who have reported their situations to me. while I sit back and I try to ponder why the activity has appeared to have gotten stronger lately, I'm starting to put my finger on a few things which may be part of the reason why some of the occurrences are more blatant and obvious. Especially around my area where I live, apparently known to be relatively haunted all over the place, I would say that there's not really one situation a person can go to on this planet where there isn't a haunting. Some places are a little bit more haunted than others, probably because of either portals or conditions or whatnot. And I just noticed sometime today that we're having a thunder lightning storm outside, and this might explain the occurrences I've experienced in the last couple days. But we'll get to that in just a moment. Let's start out with our first one here. This one involves my friend who just recently returned from Hawaii and visited the Pearl Harbor Memorial Exhibit. Now, the Pearl Harbor Memorial Exhibit was shut down when she was there because it had, I don't know if it was a leak or something going on, but they were concerned enough to shut it down to keep people off of it. And from my understanding of this memorial exhibit, it is like a building or something established that's built on top of the submarine where several to maybe 100 or so men died during the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And so what they made the decision to do back then was to just simply leave these men in this submarine and entomb them as a basically like a grave. And so what they did when she was there is, and this just happened within the last week, I believe, or so, what happened was they brought in a submarine so people and visitors could at least have the opportunity to go down inside of one to experience what many of the men experienced back in the day and probably still do in this day. Okay, so she was the last person to leave a particular area, which was, I would say, down on a lower level, because she had to climb up. You know how they have some of these short ladders that people climb down and then climb back up? I think it'd be impossible for me to get down something like that, but she managed to get down into this area, and then after looking around, she was the last one to leave. And so as she was walking up this ladder, climbing up this little ladder, she noticed that her skirt that she was wearing was being tugged at. And at first she thought it was her shoes, because ladies, we all know that if our dresses or skirts are too long, that sometimes when we're walking in a certain way, we have a tendency to potentially catch the skirt or the dress with our shoe. So at first she felt this tug and didn't think much of it, thought it was her shoes. And then it happened again. And then she looked down the next time she was walking just to see if her feet had anything to do with this tugging feeling. And she concluded that her shoes had nothing to do with it. So when you're encapsulated in that area and you're not sure if it's coming from the visiting submarine or the one that's next to it that was underwater and with so many that had perished and left there as a tomb basically, you wonder if any of that energy was visiting, or if the submarine she was in had a few of their own that had perished. And so I found that to be real interesting, especially because, and a lot of times they always say, yeah, don't be the last one out of a room, or don't be the last one. Well, you can't always not be the last one out of something, because something is going to put you in that position. So, but I found that to be real interesting. But she did describe it as feeling as if something was catching or something was just simply tugging her skirt back. I just told her she's just very lucky with the number of men and the energy down either in that ship or in the one that where they possibly could have visited, that they didn't pull her skirt off of her completely, because apparently it was one of those elastic band skirts. So real good story, interesting to hear. Sounds to me like if I'm ever in Hawaii and we go visit the Pearl Harbor exhibit, I will keep my eyes and ears and feelings open to that memorial in particular, because other reports have happened around that ship or that memorial. But I don't know how frequently this occurs. So thank you for that report. The next one I'm going to bring up is someone who I met at an art gallery where I currently have my things. I am also an artist. I do many, many things in my life, and I do them very well. And so I just feel like I spread my wings in too many different places. But I have my art things up in a gallery in my home state, quite a few miles away. To my surprise, I decided to punch in that area and see if any haunts had been reported. And to my surprise, there seems to be some hauntings around the area. I do know that where this gallery is located, I do know that there are black bear that constantly run across the road and ran across in front of my car just about a few days ago, so you have to be real careful. That's something that's enough to scare the fright out of you. But for the most part, where I have this gallery, I don't know. I didn't pick up anything when I was there tending the store, but a woman and her mother came in one day, and they purchased one of my books, because I have them on sale there, of course. And we started talking and chatting about some of her experiences. And she told me when she was younger, and she was about my age, so I'd say we're going 30 some years ago maybe, that she lived in this Victorian-like, mansion-like house that, of course, was turned into apartments, or not even apartments, just a room share kind of situation, you know, a number of rooms. So she had a few roommates, and while they were there, at first nothing was really noticed. It's not like anyone goes into an older house and immediately thinks that it's haunted. And this is something we never really thought of back in the day, because we did not have the shows we do now on television constantly in front of us, reminding us that our world is, you know, full of ghostly activity. And so, anyway, she was saying that while she was there, odd things started happening. Things were getting moved. They all thought it was each other doing it. So, of course, nobody's thinking of anything until all of a sudden one day they started comparing notes and realizing that the happenings that were going on in that mansion / place wasn't caused by them. Now, a doctor used to live there apparently back in the day and used to have his practice there back in the day. I had asked her if he also had some type of a morgue set up down in the basement or in one of the company, you know, one of the rooms that was in the house, and she didn't know. And she rarely went down into the basement. The basement was your typical dirt floor, small, dark, dusty, and that's just a perfect situation for any ghost to hang out in. Okay, so anyway, one day she went into her room, I think, and just she looked at the mirror and it just shattered. And that took her back. And I need to do a segment on mirrors shattering and things shattering, because there is something to them when it involves haunted activity. And I've had my own experience with this, so I am hoping that sometime I will do just a small segment on, you know, things that explode in front of you. Okay, so that took her back. And then she said one time her boyfriend, I think, gave her like a dozen roses. And then she started noticing that the roses were disappearing one by one. And she couldn't figure out where they were going or who was taking them. And her roommate said that they haven't touched her roses, and they were pretty adamant about that. Until one day she was needed to go down into that basement for something, I can't remember what, and she stepped on something. And then, of course, when she looked to see what it was not only one of the roses, but whomever it was laid a rose on each step as it was going down. And I don't know if she had said it was four of them or eight of them, but one rose per step as it was going down. And this was, weeks later. And of course, they're all dried up and as dead as a doorknob. But she thought, well, this is weird. And so then she confronted her roommates again. And they all claimed that they never touched her roses, and how they got on those steps was beyond all of them. But her final straw was when she and her roommates were upstairs one time discussing some of the happenings that were going on in the house, and just kind of, you know, and the roommates were more afraid of this than she was, she said. But just before she went upstairs, she was going to go into the refrigerator to get herself some cheese. She liked cheese, and I think it was a block of cheese that was in the refrigerator, but she decided to wait, and so she headed up the steps. But on her way down from their discussion, she noticed that this cheese was sitting on the steps, and when she went to touch the cheese, she said it was as cold as ice. It was just frozen. And baffled by how it got on the steps, of course, because she was just going to have some, and she was just in the refrigerator, you know, seconds before. So very, very odd situation of trying to get her attention, trying to, you know, all these happenings that go on. One can never explain exactly why they target a certain person. My guess is because they have a high frequency. The ghostly apparitions know that somebody can pick up on them. And so a lot of times they want to tell their story, or they just simply want attention. So let's move this into the house where I live and the occurrences that have happened here in the last couple weeks. My husband is a diehard Catholic, and I'm not criticizing the religion at all. I'm just trying to make a point that if someone is really a strong Catholic in their belief, there's very little that's going to convince them of certain things otherwise. And my husband has always been, back and forth on whether or not he's experienced hauntings or not, but he also has a very logical thinking brain. Okay, and so you put all that together and you get this indecisiveness half the time. So he was out mowing the lawn a couple weeks ago, I believe, and I was in a room, our TV room, sleeping in my reclining chair. And he came in to the room and said, "I need to tell you something." And I thought, I don't know if I ought to hear it. You know, one of those discussions where you want to go back to sleep. And I said, "What?" And he said, "Something just happened to me." He said, "I was trying to come back into the house." Okay, so we have a door that goes from our garage back into, it goes into the washer dryer room, which is on the same level as the rest of the house. And it goes into that room as you come into the house. And so he said, "When I attempted to open the door from the garage going into the washer dryer room," he said, "I could only move the door 6 inches. He said it felt like something was behind it, holding the door back, standing behind it. It's almost like you're shoving a door against a wall, and that's as far as it goes." And he was really baffled, he said, about this. He said it was real obvious. And so what he did is he pulled the door toward him, whoever it was standing behind it probably went flying, of course, and then he had no problem opening it up again. So he checked, you know, checked the door and looked at it and tried to determine if there was anything that could have caused it to have that feeling. But it only was allowed. It only opened about 6 inches. And so he just recently showed me that. And I said to him, point blank, I said, if there is a ghost in our house, you do not mock it. You do not say, oh, there's no such thing as ghosts, da-da-da-da-da. Because every time he says that, something always attempts to prove him wrong. I have seen this over and over again for several years in all kinds of haunted situations, and then he has an experience. Okay, usually most people will have these experiences, by the way, without somebody in their presence. And of course, it's a way to confuse somebody. It's a way to, you know, people just start shaking their heads when they hear this stuff. But there is something now to the washer and dryer room. My friend, the one who went to Pearl Harbor, was over a day or so ago, and she has a gift, and her gift is to be able to detect paranormal activity. But how she detects it is her head starts to fill up, kind of like when you have a really bad sinus infection, you know, and your head is kind of stuffy. But she says that's not the feeling. She said it's different. But her ears start to hurt, and you know, the inside of her eardrums start to hurt really bad, and it's like everything just wants to blow up. Okay, so we went out to brunch the other day, and when we came back, I had her come in for some more chatting, and she, again, I never told her where this occurred, but as she walked through the door from the garage going into the washer dryer room, she said that her head was extremely hurting. It was hurting really badly, and she just put her hands over her ears, and I just told her, just continue to walk away from this area, and I had her come and sit down, you know, in the TV room. When she was over months ago, and she's also was my caretaker when I had surgery for my cancer, she saw in my house some really interesting things. Her show is the one on Interview with Diana. So if you want to listen to those shows, I believe I have 2 segments on there. Please go and listen to that. She had seen, you know, what I call a light anomaly. Flashed through the room in my other living room, and just things that she used to hear scratching everywhere, and she'd hear scratching behind me or in places, and I have no idea because I can't hear this stuff. And so anyway, she was experiencing that, but to my surprise, it was in the exact area and location as where my husband could not open up the door. That leads us into the wardrobe from the 1910-1913 era that I had received from our family estate, and I have it in the garage, and it's a short wardrobe. You know how some of these wardrobes are like as tall as a door, and then they have two doors on it where you can go hang your clothes in them? Well, cut it in half, okay? That's what I call it, the wardrobe. And it's a shorty, and it's probably just a cabinet, really. But I've always been leery of closed cabinets ever since I had my experience in Wales, where that room was so haunted. I was in, and it was open the next day, and the drawer in Las Vegas a few weeks ago was opening up, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so my husband and I were going out to eat. And so came out of the garage door, of course, and I usually go around to the right side of my car so I can get into the driver's side of the car. But on that side also is the wardrobe, all right? And the doors are stuck. You can't open them. You have to get a key. There is no key. Basically, some kind of a pliers or a screwdriver to poke it into where the key would normally have gone and pull the door out toward you, okay? Otherwise, it's not going anywhere. It's tight, it's stuck, okay? Tell me how I missed this. The door to it, when I walked around the corner, it looked like it always had looked like. The wardrobe with the doors closed, you know, no activity. But as soon as I got into my car door and I looked out the window of my car door, the door of the wardrobe was completely wide open all the way back as if it could have touched the wall. And I screeched and I said to my husband, "Oh my God, the wardrobe door is open." And he noticed it. And I said, how did that happen? I said, "I just walked around the corner. It didn't look like it was open to me. I would have noticed it immediately." It's possible that as I was getting into, as I put the, you know, brought the door back to get into the car, it's possible that that covered up that situation enough and it just flew open. I can't explain it. All I can say is the wardrobe door is usually in a stuck position and cannot open. So you have her having an experience. You have my husband having an experience. You have me having an experience. And now I'm going to tell you what happened yesterday morning. Everything is starting to be a little bit odd and awkward. It's obvious to me that there's some poltergeist remaining in this house. Remember last year when I moved into this house, it locked me out. But it seems like there's a lot more activity now around this anniversary date. And you might recall on one of my shows too, remember, I think it's Haunted Dolls, where all of a sudden I had like a whirlwind underneath my feet. Very obvious, very weird. And then something that was trying to like not push me or hug me or something to my right hand side, because I felt an extremely cold presence and a little bit of a shove. What happened yesterday morning? Well, as most people do, we go and do our business once in a while. In other words, we go to the bathroom, all right? And while I was sitting in there, I heard something sling or hit a door or a wall and then kind of like fall to the floor. And I thought, okay, this is now like the third occurrence where I've heard something try to lure me into a particular area where it sounds like something has crashed, fallen, or whatnot. And I've heard these things before happening. I've heard back in one of my former haunted houses, something used to try to lure me into the living room during Christmas time by making the sounds of Christmas bulbs fall on the ground and break. And I would never buy into it. And then, by the way, there was never a bulb that was broken anyway. All right, so anyway, I heard this and I said, now what? Okay, so it wasn't in the washer dryer room, which was just exactly to my right. However, the wall in it to the left is parallel with the pantry that is in our kitchen. Okay, so I went into the kitchen and I started looking around and I was just trying to find where did this sound come from. And when I opened up the pantry door, and yes, most of the time it feels very cold in there, by the way, but I thought it was just because it's never opened. I'm not so sure of that anymore. I think something lives in our pantry. All right, so I noticed that we have, you know, when you have guests over and you have the plastic cups, you know, well, they were encased in their plastic wrap. They weren't open and they're lying on the floor. So I can envision this thing and I had it on an upper shelf. I kept them up there and nothing ever hangs over the edge or is in a position to fall off the shelf. Never. So anyway, I had just gone into that pantry probably a half hour before to get myself some cereal, obviously, and I would have noticed if anything was in a position of falling over in it. All right. So I'm looking on the ground and I see these cups lying on the ground, And how it sounded to me, it was like something shoved it. It flung against the door, and then it fell down. But what's really, really super interesting is it wasn't next to the door when it was lying on the ground. It was almost like it ricocheted because it was sitting back by the two boxes of cereal that I had sitting on the ground and just lying there. Nothing was out of it or anything. And I thought, all right, this is really bizarre. Okay, so we're going to talk tonight a little bit about poltergeists, but we're going to try to see if there's anything method here that might be able to get rid of your poltergeist. And I'm not going to make any guarantees on this one because I have a poltergeist in my house running around somewhere here, and honestly, I don't know who it is, and I'm going to get down to the bottom of that eventually. But right now, I thought that maybe these little clippies would be real interesting to you, and I hope you've enjoyed them, but it's certainly something to think about, and with the weather event that we're having outside right now, it's very possible that the reason why there's been more activity is because of this weather event that has just occurred today. Anyway, stay tuned, and we will get into eventually the next segment, and the next segment will be Ghoulish Chatterbox.
Rat, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rat, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs, and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rat, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line!
You gotta be kidding.
That's The Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, Kat Kloko, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Do you often sleep
with the lights on?
What's up today?
Not much, Dr. Kelly. I'm just daydreaming about my life.
Well, daydream no more. I think what we're going to do today is I think we're going to make ourselves an apple pie.
An apple pie? Ew!
Well, I thought you liked apple pies.
Well, I don't mind pies, but I would probably say that apple is not necessarily on the top of my list.
Well, we're going to make an interesting apple pie today together and give ourselves something to do.
Alrighty then.
Okay, so first thing I need to have you do is put on this apron.
Ew, apron. Okay,
that's pretty good, but I can't tell where your waist is to tie it from behind you, so I'm just going to have you do it instead. I think the other thing that would help me out a lot is if you'd put on this baker's hat.
What on earth is that? It looks like it's 12 feet tall.
Close. No, more like a 12 inches tall, and I think it would look really cute on you as we're sitting here baking together in the kitchen.
I don't know. I feel like I'm dressing up for Halloween or something.
Don't worry about it. Let's get ready here and let's pull our ingredients together. So the first thing we need to do is we need to make a pastry for the pie crust. And so I need you to go into the pantry and get for me some flour, shortening, and I'll get some ice cold water.
Flour and shortening, and how exactly am I supposed to hand those to you?
I thought you would float them over to me, if that's okay with you.
Oh, interesting trick.
Mildred, I think you are floating them over to me. Well, thank you so much. Okay, so next thing I need you to do is get a few other things for me. We're going to make this pastry for the pie first so we can have our shells ready. And then we're going to make some of the filling for the pie. I need some sugar, some cinnamon, nutmeg, and I need 4 peeled and sliced Granny Smith apples.
Oh, you mean those really tart ones? Those always give me a stomach ache.
No, not when we make the pie. I promise you they won't give you the stomach ache anymore. But we do have a variation to this recipe. It talks about how we could mix these raisins in with some Kahlua.
Oh, now that sounds pretty tasty. I like Kahlua. What's Kahlua?
Well, it's kind of an alcohol.
Alcohol? What are we up to? Getting people drunk off this pie?
No, just a new flavor for the pie. Let's see what else. It looks to me like we could also soak some of these craisins, which are a cross between cranberries and raisins, into white wine.
White wine? Oh my goodness. I hope you're not planning to serve this pie to children.
No, once again, it's all about the flavor, not about the alcohol. And we might make some crumbles, so get me over there that brown sugar.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so what I think I'll have you do is I will tell you what to hand to me, and you go ahead and hand me the stuff, and we'll mix it all together. So pass me those measuring spoons.
Pew!
I said pass me, don't throw me them.
Dr. Kelly, I don't have hands.
Okay, float over to me those measuring spoons. And then carefully give me or present to me in the best way you can a measuring cup.
A measuring cup? You mean these, but there's so many sizes.
All right, so I want the 1 cup. Look at.
I can't read.
Okay, so why don't you just hand me the cups and I will pick the ones that I want.
This is ridiculous.
No, it's fun. Just remember that. We're having fun. We're making an apple pie.
Oh, Dr. Kelly. Can I sing a song?
No. Save your song for next time.
Okay.
So we're going to mix the ingredients together. We're going to add to this some of our ingredients. And, of course, we're going to turn the oven on to 400 degrees.
Oh, that's very hot.
You're not supposed to climb into the oven, Mildred. Just turn it on.
Okay. Where's the buttons?
At the top.
Okay, that's done.
And what we're going to do is we're going to make this pie here. We're going to dump it into the pie shell. And then we're going to bake this pie for about an hour until steam comes up from it.
Oh, you mean like, are we going to have facials done today?
No, but there is a good possibility that one of us will in just a few moments.
Oh, Dr. Kelly.
All right, so.
Do, 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 do.
All right.
Ding!
Okay, so I think the pie is done. So I'm going to pull it out of the oven.
Mmm! That smells really good.
Yes, but looky no touchy here. It's still very hot.
Oh, I can't wait to have a taste of that pie. Is that a Kahlua pie or is that white wine pie?
No, it's not either of those because we're not doing a variation on them. We're doing just the pie straight out of the recipe.
Oh, that's boring.
Okay, so once it cools, I'm going to give you a taste of this pie.
Oh, yummy. I can't wait. Wait a minute. I don't think I like apple pie.
You will today. Would you like some ice cream on it or would you like some whipped cream on it?
Neither. I'm fine. I'm good. Give it to me straight.
So I'm cutting it.
Mmm, smells really good.
Open your mouth. Wait a minute. I can't see your mouth. Where is your mouth? Maybe I should have you put it in your mouth.
All right, well, I will. So I'm picking up the spoon and the fork, and together I'm shoving this big piece into my mouth.
Hmm, that's an interesting sight to see. I wish I had a camera, but then again, if I did, I don't know what it would really photograph here. How does it taste?
Mmm, yummy, 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 yum, yum. Can we make blueberry next time? Because I'm not too crazy about apple pie.
No problem. Well, thank you for helping me out in the kitchen today, Mildred.
And I thank you, Dr. Kelly, for having me. Next time, I do not want to wear this apron thing and this hat, whatever it is. And maybe next time I could have you wear it so that way we could at least take turns.
Sounds good to me. Well, until next time, everybody. And, of course, happy apple pie eating. From me...
and Mildred.
Be careful what you wish for.
My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author, academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time right here on the Para-X Radio Network. The main topic for this evening will be how to rid a poltergeist from your home. This is the educational portion of the podcast. Before I get started here with giving you steps that perceived experts claim might help in getting rid of a poltergeist from your home, let me just tell you that there are no guarantees. Depending on where you live, how strong the occurrences are, of course, environmental conditions always have a tendency to awaken certain energies during certain periods of time. It just depends on who this energy or who this poltergeist is. To explain what a poltergeist is, a poltergeist is basically just a noisy ghost. It's not always a scary ghost. It's not always a demon. It could be. It could even be a replay of a person who used to live on the property or in the area. So it just depends. I am aware of individuals who have passed away on their properties a mile to 2 miles down the road, but in their seeking of a place of comfort, especially if they lived in a rural area, may also come back to a place where they grew up rather than stay at a place where they raised a family their entire life, especially if they're hanging around. Just know that poltergeist's energies can start out very gently, and then they can also increase depending on who or whom it is and what its intentions are. So I went online just to see who was writing about this topic, and I came across an article from a young lady, 13 Steps to Rid Your House of a Pesky Poltergeist. Okay. Number one, don't use a Ouija board. Don't use a Ouija board, period. I'm sorry. If you're an expert in using a Ouija board and you can open and close the portal to that, I'm going to call it a device, easily enough, then you're a very rare percentage out there. Most people who use Ouija boards are untrained. They have absolutely no idea what they're doing, and they invite trouble into their situations all the time. I do have a segment on the Ouija board. I found the history of it to be absolutely interesting. And how these things work, I have no idea. And how the person who actually created or put this together and for what reasons or intentions, I don't know. All I know is that it seems to cause a lot of problems. The other thing you should not be using, although I learned this from a paranormal researcher probably about a year ago, was to stop using your K2 meters or any type of device within your own home, attempting to discover or seek out any ghosts that you may have in your home. They also act as a Ouija board. And as soon as you invite somebody in, or as soon as you start making that extra connection, you might not be able to get rid of what you have encountered. With the experiences that I've had in my own house, I have had, back in the day, a year ago, used my K2 meter. I also used it when my caretaker was here because she was seeing things, and I thought it was time to get down to it, and we did capture, of course, energy spikes within my house. Again, I have no idea who this or they are, but my biggest concern, because I used to live in a few homes that became very haunted, is that once you invite one into the house, then others have a tendency to follow. And especially some of the other ones are not necessarily particularly very friendly either. So you could end up with the territorial ghost, you could end up with illness problems, you could end up with all kinds of things. Let's scrap the Ouija board as one way to make contact and rid a ghost from your house. The next thing she writes down is to consult the Bible and to read Bible verses to attempt to exorcise the house of demons or bad spirits. And that includes poltergeists, pesky ghosts, and this might be one way. And then she says in here, I wanted to see what she says. Oh, there's a prayer in here, prayer to Saint Michael, the archangel, to defend us in battle, etc. And she reads that one constantly. And I'm going to read this one throughout the house, but my husband also, he does have holy water, so it would probably be a good idea to seek out a church or a place that sells or blesses holy water to be holy, and attempt to use that. And you might say, oh, that's just tap water, it doesn't work. Well, I beg to differ. I've actually watched my husband use it in action. I've actually used it on myself, you know, in situations. And I can tell you that as soon as he threw the holy water in that haunted room in Wales with that cycling mirror, it went completely nuts. So I don't know. I don't even know what that was in that room to this day. Another one is to cleanse your house using sage. Be very careful about the use of sage. Usually you have to open up some windows or a door because the stuff can become very strong and how you use it. So, and there, it's called smudging. And there are certain rituals that people go through when they use this. And again, I'm not an expert on saging. But of course, the smoke apparently comes from an element of blessings. Of a spirit, so it's supposed to remove all of this negativity for a more peaceful environment. Another one is have a local pastor bless or anoint your home. Yes, but you want to make sure you get a pastor that is kind of familiar or not afraid of poltergeists and ghostly or demonic activity in your home. Because if by chance something becomes a little bit too aggressive, you don't want this pastor to leave before the job is done. Hang crosses in your house. Well, yeah, but you know what? One of the things about crosses is it depends on who's hanging them, of course, and if they are of a religion that feels comfortable hanging them. So it talks about, let's see, you can hang crosses in your windows or on your walls or wear them on yourself. I'm going to tell you, when I was in Zach Bagan's Haunted Museum, unless my cross was attempting to hold back something worse than what it was, no cross and no holy water is going to protect you 100%, especially if it's against a demonic force. We'd like to believe that we can hold up ourselves against a demonic force, but sometimes, depending on where you are, something like that, it could be a little bit stronger. So sometimes these symbols and these artifacts and relics, you know, it's your belief that's going to carry the level of strength that you need rather than the artifact that you believe is helping you. I've got, and we've had angels in a few places of our house, in all of our houses. And I'll tell you, I don't know, it's not like it really held off from me being attacked when I was being choked in one of my houses during the evening. Let's see here. This article says that some poltergeist infestations are usually short-lived. Sometimes they hang around for days or weeks, and then they leave once they feel like they're not getting any attention or they're not, you know, able to get a rise out of you, in other words. One of the things that she writes about is if you know their name, don't speak of it, don't react to their noises or movements, and shrug off any funny feelings you might have, because this is what they want attention. But and just like yesterday and the day before when all this, they got their attention, but I'm certainly not walking through the house saying, okay, come over here, sit down, we're going to have a little chat. I know a year ago when I was locked out of the house, I did get very angry, and I did say whatever it was in here to leave, and I did say that it wasn't that wasn't very amusing, you know. So you have to be real powerful within yourself to at least try to set your own ground rules. Sprinkle salt around the room. I guess it just basically says any kind of salt, but, you know, you might want to use kosher salt or something. This religions regard salt as a strong substance that can be protection from evil. Line entry points into your home with salt and sprinkle it liberally around any rooms where you've had ghostly activity. I live in a 4,100 square foot home. I think we would go broke with us buying a lot of salt. I don't like the idea of having salt just lying about the floor, lining places either, because then you really don't know how long you're supposed to keep it there for. You know, throwing it over your shoulder doesn't always work either. But just know that, and then some people talk about black salt versus white salt. You know, unless you're an expert in knowing how to utilize the salt properly and then for how long, I'm not quite sure that it's not going to be a messy solution to our problem here. Another thing that it writes about is the Earth's energies. Believe that poltergeist activity can actually be attributed to disruptions of the Earth's energies. Well, I agree, because we had this thunderstorm / lightning storm this morning, and it's possible that something was building up, causing enough energy to manifest. So I am a big believer that when there's trouble lurking around the corner, that could possibly be because of an environmental issue. Get rid of any cursed objects. First of all, you need to know what the object is that's cursed. Spirits don't always haunt houses, it says. Sometimes a poltergeist is linked to a specific person or even an object, like a piece of jewelry or furniture. Yes, but that wardrobe did not awaken for 8 months. Let's put it to you that way. And so I'm not completely sure it is the wardrobe. Something else might be in this house that has caused what we're experiencing, or maybe an energy came in and awakened it or whatever. But until you can actually figure out what could be the source of it regarding a haunted object or whatever, destroying the object can also make the spirit angry or violent as well. And I agree with that. It says here there are no recorded cases of poltergeist killing people, but injuries have occurred. And I beg to differ, because I read a couple stories regarding people that were in prison or whatever, and then they were found mysteriously dead. I don't know. There's a lot to this. You can't speculate, and finding the object could be real difficult. Hold a seance. Well, okay, you can hold a seance, but I would not advise it. Not in your house. And I'll tell you why. A seance, no different than a K2 meter or a Ouija board. Why would you want to sit there and try to talk the spirit into coming in even more so than it already is? So unfortunately, I'm going to have to say don't do this one, because it could get loud or violent. And then here you have this thing making all kinds of ruckus in your house, and then you can't get rid of it at all, period. Some of these paranormal groups that you watch on TV, you hear and read about this all the time. I've talked with a few people who have known some of these popular people on television who have gone into people's homes to investigate, only to actually make the situation worse. So why would you want to make your situations worse? You want to feel like you need to do this in the most calmest way possible. Another one it said is decorate your home with evergreens. Something about evergreens is rebirth and protection. It might help to drive out evil spirits and whatnot. I like the smell of evergreen, but I don't think I'm going to run around and decorate my rooms that look like a forest. So, you know, it's just an idea. And then another thing is seek counseling for your family. The reason why it talks about that is poltergeists can target specific people, especially if they have any kind of mental illness. You want to make sure that, and I'm going to be attending a conference on this very shortly, that if you're the one actually causing the poltergeist or the, you know, the experience that's happening around you, it's probably a good thing to try to figure out how to calm your inner spirit. Go to a Reiki master to try to have your energy zipped out of you if you can. I have to say I've been to one and it has a tendency to work. If this is manifesting from your own psychic energy, this may be a way to understand how to calm your nerves down. And of course, she's holding a rosary, and it says no matter what you do to rid a poltergeist, one thing is for sure. You have to believe in what you're doing. Negative energy in your home can keep evil spirits there longer, because they thrive on fear and they thrive on anger. And if you don't believe that your removal method is working, chances are the spirit in your home won't believe it either. All right, so just be careful with what you do, okay? All righty. Take care, everyone, and thank you again for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. We'll talk to you again next time.